Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Happen around you, but you will not see it. So the people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him. But you know him. Ask your neighbor, do you know him? Ask your neighbor. That is why we have spent a couple of weeks on the subject of the Holy Spirit, that we will know him. But Jesus is saying, you see, when he says, but you know, it means you should know him. It means you should know him. He lives with you. He's available. And he will be in you. The Holy Spirit is not set aside for only pastors and bishops and evangelists and prophets. No. It's for all of us. I didn't hear the amen. Amen. And that is why the verse 18 is so important. And he says, I will not leave you like orphans. I will come back to you. I will not leave you like orphans. I will come back to you. Do you know what it means? It means that if you see a Christian who doesn't have an active, working Holy Spirit with him, he is in many regards like an orphan. He is in, if you're going to compare him, you want to find somebody to compare him with. If, for example, we are going to compare, who can we compare? If you're going to compare somebody, we'll find something similar that gives us the same picture, you know. But I'm looking for an example. I can't find a good example. Nobody's helping me. If you're going to compare some things, you can't compare. I mean, if you want to compare Bill Gates to somebody here, it will be very difficult. It will be very difficult. But to compare a local man, no. Despite. I don't know. I'm not sure. But if you you can compare many people with somebody who is here and find a similarity. So he said that to compare somebody who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, the best person is an orphan. And an orphan is not a child of a single parent. It's a child of no parents, who is often struggling to pay fees, struggling to buy clothes. Or am I the only one who knows orphans like that? Yeah. So I hope you are listening. So the message this morning is that if you do not have the Holy Spirit, it says, with you and in you. He lives with you and he will be in you. If you don't have that one, you can be likened to an orphan. And I don't know many orphans who are prosperous or doing well. I don't know many orphans who are flourishing, who pay school fees easily. Even when you lose one parent, finances change. So ask him, are you going to embrace the orphan life? Ask him, are you going to be happily orphanic? Or no, it's a word. It's like orphan, orphanic, or orphanian, like a Ghanaian, orphanian. No. Ask him, please. Ask him, are you going to be like an orphan, happily moving around like that, always struggling? I mean, when your shoes spoil, it's a catastrophe. When you are finished, you buy cello tape and hold it together because you can't replace it. Whereas another person, when your phone falls down and you call daddy, And I ask you, what is it? Say, oh, my phone fell. Okay, what do you want? No, what do you, which type do you want again? What type do you want again? Because what I bought for you was Samsung 22. Now 24. Okay, get 24 and take it like that. Huh? May you be such a parent. Or have such a parent. The one you like. No, so listen carefully. This morning, what we are talking about is the fact, close it well, please, is the fact that without the Holy Spirit, life is hard. And the inverse is true. So if life is hard, then very, very likely or possibly the Holy Spirit is not active in your world or in your life. And that is why we have spent some time talking about the Holy Spirit for us believers. And this morning, I want us to consider how we interact with Him so that you can begin to look for that thing. You can begin to embrace it. And when you know how to handle something, then you do it in that way. And you get the maximum benefits. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much this morning as we gather here in your house for you to speak to us. Let it not be just another routine time, but let it be life-changing, destiny-altering. Let it be a time that we spend in your presence, O God, that will change us for the rest of our lives and bless us just because we came. Thank you so, so very much in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So, this morning, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe that it is very important for us as Christians to embrace it and to look for it and to avoid all the wahalas of this world, all the struggles. Is how many have struggled enough? It's time to enjoy small. Amen. You know, how many want to, you know, there are two kinds of shoppers. Should I tell you? Two kinds of shoppers. Yeah. One kind, go and buy. One kind, go calculate and buy. They calculate. No, that's 10. Okay, there are three kinds. But they did not shop. So they are just walking around town and they come back with nothing. One kind goes, you see, because I've been both kinds before. One kind goes to a shop, looks at the things on the wall, 7 cities. Then look at the other one, 9 cities. They do mental. 7 plus 9 is 16. And they are very fast. So I have 16 and I have 20. So I have 4 cities more. So what can I take for 4 cities? Then they look and see, there's this one for 3 cities. This one for 5 cities. No, 5 cities is 21, is out. 3 cities is 19, it works. So they are very, very fast in their calculation. I was very fast. I mean, I could multiply and add at the same time. Because it was necessary. It was. But a time came when I don't bother again. I don't check balance again. I used to check my balance. Hey! Before you put a card in, check the balance. Before you ask for anything, in case it will eject the card. and they are behind you. and the card comes empty. Then you just walk away quietly. No. Now we just buy whatever we have to buy. You'll be there.
Amen.
Oh, yes. No, no, because I was there and I'm here now, I know it's possible. Yeah, and I don't think I'm special. I don't know what you think, but I don't think I'm special. I think I'm just a serious Christian. I don't think I'm very, very special in any other way. So my belief is, for any serious Christian, are you here? Any serious Christian, you can cross that line from calculating to just moving on and taking what you want. And you find that, and the mystery is, maybe when you don't have money, you want money. But when you get money, you don't need money again. You don't see the use of money. You just leave it in the account and find a way to spend for somebody. So this morning, the Holy Spirit is, Jesus said, our helper. Our helper. Hallelujah. So, and he says that minus him, you are like an orphan, which clearly is not a good place to be. So I want us to embrace him and see how we can move forward in life. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, what he does for us, what is his role in our lives? Amen. And this morning, I'll give you 5 things that he will do for you. This is just an introduction to my message, actually, because I want you to know how to relate with him. But just 5 things, just a list. Well, what he'll do for us. One, he will teach you. That is in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the helper, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And those of us who preach, or those who lead Bible studies of any kind, you will find that on a number of occasions, you'll be saying things you hadn't planned to say. Does it make sense? You will find that, I mean, somebody may ask you a question, and you have no, this question, I've not thought about it before. I don't even know where the question comes from. And then suddenly, an answer comes into your mind. That is what it means that the Holy Spirit will teach you what is. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. The NIV. When you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit. I tell my students all the time, when you go into an exam room, okay, and you are hot. How many have been hot before in an exam? And you are hot. You know, and they ask a question you don't know. Do you know what the answer is? The first thing that comes to your mind. The first thing that comes to your mind, very often, it is the right answer. But you're not sure because you don't know. If you knew, you'll be asking God. It is, you see, invariably, because sometimes you will say, no, it's not this one. Then what is the answer? Then you get it wrong. One day, I met a certain young lady who I had met before. She was in church. And as she was coming, she came to me and she asked me, Pastor, what's my name? It's a very bad question. Don't ask a pastor that question. Pastor, what is my name? Because she had told me her name before. You know, and honestly, I had forgotten. I had forgotten. So as she stood in front of me, she asked me, Pastor, what is my name? What? At once I heard Agnes. But I knew another Agnes. So I thought, no, this is not the Agnes. That is the Agnes. So if that is Agnes, then who is this? Then a name came. Maybe, is it Priscilla? Is it something? I was trying to say. Then she looked at me, Pastor, you've forgotten. My name is Agnes. Oh, see, I should have said it. Because what comes, Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you. Of course, you have to believe That's why it is also by faith. Because when you hear certain things, you may not believe it. So you don't accept it. But he will teach you. He will teach you what to say in that moment. You know, as you go out of this place today, back into the world, if you believe the Holy Spirit to be with you, you have many occasions where, so I think it was last week, I told you, believe your thoughts, respect your thoughts, because that is the Holy Spirit, that is how he talks to us. And I told you, if you remember, that when you are alone, there is virtually no difference between a thought and a word. Because when you are alone, you can say, I heard, or I thought I heard. What's the difference? There's no difference. Because whether you heard, there's nobody there to confirm. And sometimes there's somebody there who even didn't hear what you heard. I don't know whether you understand me this morning. The first thing the Holy Spirit will do for you is to teach you. So you must be willing to learn. Amen. Amen. You must be willing to believe that what you heard was correct. The second thing is, he will remind you. He will remind you. Reminding and teaching, they are very close together. Because but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. So, in addition to what you'll be taught, some things to you'll be reminded. It means that this thing you should know. You should know, but you may have forgotten it in the heat of the moment. How many can forget how to forgive when you are angry? You don't mind me. You can forget how to forgive. Somebody has really bored you, and your first instinct is, I want to say something that is fitting to your behavior. Oh, you don't understand? Yeah, I mean, some words come to your mind quickly, not very good words. And then you want to say it, then they remind you, you're a Christian. Take it easy. Forgive. Or you have not been there before. Yeah, they'll remind you. You're about, calm down. they'll remind you that a Christian does not respond in kind. And you're like, I wish I could speak, give me a piece of my mind. The words are coming. The words are right here. But you can't say the word properly because it's like, take your time. You're in public. You have to be a good example to those around you. He will remind you. Are you listening? Yeah, he will remind you of something you should know. He will remind you. I mean, maybe sometimes you are there, then you get some big money. Then you are calculating. Then he will remind you that 10%. Or you not that one, you forget it again. I forget it. He will remind you as the money has come. 100 CDs is yours. Good. I'm going to buy a dress, 15 CDs, then shoe, 15 CDs. Then no. 10 CDs belongs to God. He will remind you what you know, but you have forgotten in the heat of the moments. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So number one is what? He will teach you. Number two, he remind you. Number three, he will guide you. He will show you where to go. Isaiah 30. Let's start from verse 20. The easy to read version. The Lord might give you sorrow and pain like the bread and water you eat every day. But God is your teacher, and he will not continue to hide from you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. That is, the Holy Spirit is not far from us. Amen.
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 He's not far. He's around us. Oftentimes we cannot hear him, but he's around us Then it says, if you wander from the right path, either to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, you should go this way. Here is the right way. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know about you, but many times I ask God where I should go, what route I should take. I mean, when I became very serious about this thing some years ago, when I was going home from town, and I have to pass through Aloga Junction. And as I was coming, it was the evening. And as I was coming, I heard a thought, a voice. When you're alone, you're not sure. I heard 10 rights at Euphoric Road. And I said, I don't feel like that meandering left and right. So I'll just go straight to Aloga Junction, then straight to Tech, Chumbiasi, straight. Easy life. No harassment, no worry. I said, I won't turn right. Then I came to the next right, which also goes to my house, but it's through a meandering road. Then I had 10 rights. And I said, I don't feel like steering my wheel. I feel like holding it straight. So I missed that one too. There was one last right that can take you through some houses. Very, very narrow road. But I could have passed that on too. So when I got there to that, I had 10 rights. Third time. But I felt that. I said, no, I don't feel like it. So I went straight to Aloga Junction. And when I got there, as I was coming, the light was green. So I was coming. Then, lights went off. All the lights went off. And what happened was there were 4 taxi drivers at the junction. None would back down. So all the 4 were there. None would let anybody pass. So in 5 minutes, the cars had backed up all the way. And I was in the middle of the traffic. And in front of me was gridlock. I sat there for 1.5 hours. Coolly. I repeated for 1.5 hours. I said, Lord, you told me 10 rights. I heard it clearly, 10 rights, 3 times, but I didn't feel like it. It says, and you hear a voice behind you. Look at Acts chapter 16. And when that's Paul and his team, had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So you see, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. Amen. He will stop you from going to some places. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So, you see, listen carefully this morning. I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit, He would teach you, remind you, and guide you. And guidance means that sometimes He will say, go here, or He will say, don't go. And I don't know how serious you are when you hear don't go, whether you not go or you still go and say, I want to go and see for myself. You're not like that. How many are obedient to the Holy Spirit? There's only one killer is obedient. But I think it's only one person, because most of us are not. Most of us, you see, I was going somewhere, and so I want to finish what I planned to do. Even though God is now trying to stop you from continuing on a road that will probably end in a disaster. And many people have made shipwreck of their lives in not listening to what the Holy Spirit has told them. I want us all of us here, to enter into a new life. You know, this is a new church. We are all new. Do you know that? Yeah, we are. No, I don't know. You don't. We are all new. It's a new church. So it is appropriate to mark it with a new life. Amen.
Amen.
Your amen wasn't nice.
Amen.
It is appropriate that as you start a new church, I mean, when you go to a new job, a new something, your clothing changes. If you get a new job with a new salary, your clothing changes, your car may change, your phone may change. I mean, it's not like that. When you leave secondary school to university, didn't your life change? You stopped wearing certain uniform. Now you are wearing a dress you like. There's no more lights out. There's no more dining hall bell. You are free. You can do your hair. Affirmably, you are cutting your hair as stipulated. Now you are free to, yeah. Your life changes with every new change. May your life change into a new walk with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That life is a far better life. The one before is comparable with an orphanic life. Or orphanable. It's a life that is full of pity and lack. But the life that you have with the Holy Spirit is different. He will teach. He will remind. He will guide. Number four, he will provide. He will provide. You know, when you look in the Bible, you find that God provides. God provides. It is amazing. I mean, he provides food, he provides money, he provides healing, he provides there are too many examples about God's provision. And it's amazing that the same abundance of example in our lives, we don't believe it. Many of us don't believe that God will provide. And that is why we try to provide for ourselves. We are planning to start receiving testimonies. You know, as we said, we are going to walk with the Holy Spirit and supernatural provisions. Today we have a testimony. I don't know, we've forgotten about it. Yeah, we forgot. We can take a testimony. Yeah. Come, please give him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I have a testimony.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. So, Bishop has been preaching about having a supernatural life. And so, I believed in the message by the grace of God. And just this week, I was there and a friend tested me that, what phone are you using? And I said, oh, some old Samsung phone, for about 2 years now. Yeah, I'm still using that phone. Oh, okay. He says that, I want to give you a new phone. Yeah, then he says that something has been pressing for some days now. Yes, something. Yes, has been pressing for some days now to give me a phone. Hallelujah.
Wait. How many would resist that pressing? Because most of us, any money you get, you have a budget. And you have, it's not the case. You have a plan, you have things, and you have a list of outstanding things. So any extra money that comes is automatically swallowed up. But when something presses you, and we are learning, I want us to learn this season how to be open to the Holy Spirit. Please finish your testimony.
Yeah. And so he's currently not in Ghana. He'll be coming, maybe, I think, next week, God willing. And I know, yes, the phone that he will be bringing, yeah.
It's coming.
It's coming.
You know, last Friday, we had a prayer meeting here with Reverend William, and we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8. He gave us a whole beautiful teaching on prosperity, and it is God who will cause us to prosper. And so I said, this teaching is so nice. We have to take our time because we're in a hurry. He got it too late. At the end of the prayer meeting, when we were closing in 5 minutes, they bring this topic up. It was not right. So we said, no, we'll come back again Friday to take our time and hear how God prospers us. But that is the key. It is God who will prosper you. Amen. It is the Holy Ghost who will provide all that you need. Too many times we have tried to provide for ourselves. Okay, I'm coming to that one. So number five is, and he will convict us. The Holy Spirit will touch you in your heart. Amen. He will convict you of judgments, of righteousness. He will convict us of everything. The sharpest example is in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down and appeared on them like tongues of fire on every head. And Peter, who formerly was hiding, suddenly rose up and began to speak. And he spoke to the crowd. When he had finished speaking, if you remember, the Bible says, and the men were pricked in their hearts. They were cut to their hearts. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes words effective. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes what you say have meaning. Many times you talk to people and they even look at you and say, what are you saying? What are you trying to tell us? It's not like that. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will make your words effective. Hallelujah. And you yourself, when you hear something, that thing will not walk away. My biggest problem is Christians who don't act like Christians. It's Christians who are just the same as their unbeliever classmates, unbeliever roommates, unbeliever colleagues. They are just the same. Have you seen some before? I hope it's not you, but it's somebody else. It's somebody else. Is it you? It's not you. You mind me? Okay, don't mind me. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit knows who he's talking to. You know. But it is amazing that a lot of Christians are able to take money from students and give them a poor sign for things they've not bought. I was going to buy some instruments. These instruments, I was going to buy some from the shop. And then I was bargaining with the guy to reduce their price. And it was tired of me. And he will reduce the price. Then I'll say, no, reduce further. Then I'll say, you can do better. You can try again. I mean, you have removed 5 cities. Remove another 5 cities again. And it took us a long time. But when I finished, then he asked me, what kind of person are you? And I was like, what do you mean, what kind of person am I? Because I'm a person like me. This is me. Then he said that, you know, don't tell anybody, okay? We'll tell anybody. Hey, you tell. No, he said that, you know, many other churches come to buy. And they rather will say 50, write 55. And then the other extra, give it to me. And he said that is his normal encounter with many other people. And then here we are arguing to reduce it. He said it's very unusual. And I was very disappointed with humanity that it has come to this. Amen. One day, a certain boy who was writing BEC. He was writing WASI. And he was in a classroom just before the exam. Then he called his father, Daddy, the people are here. The paper is here. The paper we are going to write is here. Should I look? What do you tell your son? Please ask your neighbor, Caroline, what will you tell your son? When he calls you, should I look? What will you tell him? Should I look? Look. Look small. Open your eye. Close your eye. Don't look well. Look small. Look, Barbara, what will you say? Look small. In marvelous ways. My A is coming. Look small. No. The father said, don't look. He said, don't look. Yeah. That's a Christian. That's a Christian father talking to a Christian son. He said, don't look. And you see, do you know the amazing thing? That the son called the father in the first place. Because many of you just look. You both are crying. Say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. bring the paper quickly. Let's work it now. Then I'll tell my daddy that the paper, it clicked. Bah! No. He said, don't look. Don't look. Amen. And that is, if you are you listening to me? If you are a Christian, if you are a proper Christian, that is the correct answer. Fidelia, if you are a proper Christian and your son calls you, mommy, the paper is on the table, should I look? Fidelia's answer should be like Ellie Queen. It should be, don't look. It should be, don't look. Anyway, what will you say? Look small. Look only one eye. Close one eye and look. No. It should be, don't look. Because after looking and writing the exam, your heart should strike you that I was cheating. After looking and reading and going to write the exam, when the exam is over and you are walking home, you should be feeling guilty. Oh, what have I done? I'm ashamed of myself. But you feel guilty. Because the Holy Spirit's power to convict you is not working properly in your life. You should be feeling guilty. Look, do you know we sin all the time? You and me. We sin all the time. So we should be fighting that sin. The fight of sin should be that I don't want to feel that guilty feeling again. So I won't do it again. Actually, sin is nice. But it's not true. Sin is nice. It's very nice. But the guilty feeling that comes afterwards, it's what takes away the niceness. And that is why you should be like, you know, it was nice, but this price to pay, I don't like it again. And those who don't have that Holy Spirit conviction, who don't have the Holy Spirit, that conviction is not there. That is why you can sin and walk away. Fornication, stealing, lying, pornography is not there or is there. It's rampant around us all the time. But there is no conviction that I've done something wrong. So they just walk away. And that's why they can do it again and again and again. Because number 5, conviction is not there. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. So this morning, I want us to embrace the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number 1 is what? He will teach you. Number 2, he will remind you. Number 3, he will guide you. Number 4, he will provide. And number 5, he will convict you. He will convict you. When you do something that is contrary to the right thing, he will convict you and cause you to walk in the right ways. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, he's our greatest friend. Amen. Amen. John chapter 5. This is a story I believe we all know about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Let's read. We have a few minutes. Let's read it. John chapter 5. Um, There was a festival. I'm reading from the modern versions. There was a festival. Jesus went to Jerusalem for a special festival. In Jerusalem, there is a pool with 5 covered porches. In Aramaic, it is called Bethesda. The pool is near the sheep gate. Many sick people were lying on the porches beside the pool. Some were blind, some were crippled, and some were paralyzed, waiting for the and they waited for the water to move. Sometimes an angel of the Lord came to the pool and shook the water. After this, the first person to go into the water, into the pool, was healed from any sickness that he had. One of the men lying there, had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been sick for a very long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered, verse 7, "Sir, there is no one to help me get into the water when it starts moving. I try to be the first one into the water, but when I try, someone else always goes in before I can." Then Jesus said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." Immediately, the man was well. He picked up his mat and started walking. Hallelujah. It's a very remarkable story in the Bible. But it tells us how we also can practically relate with the Holy Spirit in your life. And I want us to learn just a few lessons from this scripture. How the Holy Spirit is actively going to work with you in your life in this current world. Amen. And I hope to answer some of the questions you've not asked me yet. But number one, okay, this is the principle. God, John 5, verse 17. Jesus answered, saying, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So this is God the Father and the Son. Verse 19. Then he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." Did you hear that? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. So, I want to give you 3 points that I hope will make some sense to help you in these times. Number one is that God can do everything, but he's not doing so. Number one point for it, take this morning. God can do everything, but he's not doing so. And we don't know why. Because in many, many occasions, Jesus healed everybody. He says, and he healed all. He healed all. He healed all. But then we come to a place where there were many, and he healed only one. He healed just one person. And Jesus was there, and there was a sick man there, but he didn't mind them. I want us to learn a lesson this morning that, you see, tell me about God can do everything. The trouble is, I'm trying to say it clearly. The trouble is when you think that because Jesus came to a place where there were many and he didn't heal some, you will say that he couldn't heal them. And so you may, listen to me. You may by mistake think that there are some things God can't do. No, God can do everything, but he doesn't do. It's different from he can't do. Tell anybody, God can help you. Tomorrow, by this time, you'll be rich. Oh, yes. Do you believe it? Most don't believe. Oh, yeah, you are liars. Most don't believe it. No. Most don't believe it. But God can do it. But very likely he won't. Won't doesn't mean can't. Won't doesn't mean can't. But because he doesn't, hasn't, all the times you've asked for money, he hasn't given you. At a certain point in time, you stop asking. You stop asking. Then you now start thinking that God doesn't give money like that. But he does. He's just giving somebody a phone. He does. The point I want to make is, it is when you start doubting, will God do it? Then suddenly, he won't. It means that even after asking him for the 18th time for the same thing, still believe and still expect that he will do it. I don't know whether you're understanding me this morning. As you are asking him for the 13th time for the same thing that he has not done, ask him, still believing with utmost expectation that he will do it. That he will do it. I asked yesterday, he didn't do it. No problem. I asked last week, he didn't do it. No problem. Because the problem is that now that you are coming to him to ask again, I'm coming to, I know you say no, but I'm coming to ask. I know you will say no. So then what should I say? No. If you come knowing I will say no, then I will say that no, Preku. Then you just go away happily. Then you come again next week. I know you will say no, but I'm asking because the prayer meeting. So I'm only asking for the prayer meeting's sake. But I want us to, listen carefully, I want us to understand this carefully. God can do everything, but he may not do it. Amen. So if he doesn't answer your prayer, he can. He can. I want you to keep asking him. Amen. Amen. Number two. Looking to men for help. The man was waiting for help. Looking to men for help will often delay the help God will give you. Looking to men for help. Because for many of us, that is the default setting. You are wondering, who can help me? And that is why people are looking for support, looking for help, looking for contact. Who can I call? Who can help me? It is a default setting. Who can help me? But it is contrary to what God is doing right now in our lives. That looking to men for help will often delay God and hinder him. Because God is not willing to compare himself with anybody. If you are looking to men for help, then God does it. Who gets the credit? He doesn't like that. He says, my glory I will share with nobody. He doesn't like to share his glory at all. That's the one thing he doesn't share. Amen. So, let your eyes be on God. Amen. I hope you are listening. Let your eyes be on God. Let your focus be on God. Believe that God will take care of you. Amen. Believe it. I want everyone. How many want to do well? This is the key. Listen, men do not have the power to bless you as you think. Because most men are looking for more for themselves. I mean, people have money in sacks under their beds. Have they stopped getting more money? No, they're still getting more money from everywhere else. It's a very strange. I mean, at the point you wonder how much money can you use? At the point you wonder. Yesterday I saw an article. The man said, Michael Jordan has a problem. So I said, hey, that's a problem. I said, curiosity, let me go and see what the problem is. Do you know his problem? He has too much money. I said, what do you mean? Because I know there are richer people than him. So how can you say he has too much money? He said, no. He has an income of about $300 million something a year. And the money is coming. He's not spending it. So it's just accumulating in his account. What a problem. What a problem. What a problem. But you see, the money, he's not sharing it. He's not sharing it. He's keeping it. It's there. He can't use it. But he's keeping it in his account. I mean, if like you, for example, I know you'll be sharing the money. Or you share the money. You will share the money, at least your uncle, everybody will get 1 million, 1 million. You'll be sharing it everywhere because more is coming every year. You'll be sharing it, but he's not. And you see, that is the way of men. Oh, men are not as kind as you think they are. I don't know whether you understand me. Men are not, you are thinking that, oh, my uncle, some years ago, one of my church members, we were in church. He said, oh, he needs money. I said, come, let's pray to God. He said, oh, no, no, he has an uncle in Sunyani. An uncle in Sunyani who, no, he didn't say no, but he said no. Yes, Mofa. Who will help him? He wants to go and buy a car. I said, oh, let's believe God. He says, no, no, his uncle will help him. So he's going to, so then he'll come back. I said, okay. So he left. Then he was gone for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. 10 weeks. He was gone for about 6 months. Then finally he arrived again. When he came back, I asked him, so where's the money? So where? He said his uncle didn't help him at all. So he went from Sunyani to Accra to another uncle. He also didn't help him. He said, Pastor, I have roamed for 6 months. And he said, my uncles have money, I know. I have roamed for 6 months going round and round and nobody has helped me. I said, come back to base. Yeah, come back to base. And come and sit here and let's serve God and believe God. Many of us, we are trusting, our hope is men. Shake your neighbor. Say, shake your neighbor. Say, I want to shake that thing out of your head. Shake the person. I want you to find, see men. No, write this down. Men are unreliable. Write it down. Men are unreliable. Men will break your heart. Oh, it's not true. It is. It's not true, Gifty. Men will break your heart. It's not true. It's true. Ask Gifty. She'll tell you it's true. And men. And you see, a lot of people have said that I was promised pay something, then you get something. How many have paid to get and still didn't get? And the money you are paid to won't come back. Or it came back. It won't come back. Yeah, somebody, one day somebody said he was going to the military. Somebody, the military. Many years ago, a young boy. He was going to the military, a young boy. You remember him? And he paid, they told him to pay something. He went there and paid. And he went there and walked around and they came back to church. Yeah, nothing. And that one was going to Dubai. I was going to Qatar. It was just last year. He was going. He also went and sold his land, sold his house, sold his things to raise 50,000 cedis to go. I said, brother, it's a mistake. He said, no, no, no. When he goes, he'll get it all back again. So he sold his land. He sold everything. No, he's going to Singapore. And I said, Singapore, you see, Singapore, you can enter visa free. No, no, no. You can enter, but you can't stay. But you can't stay. He said, oh, I can go and they have got a job for me. I said, brother, I don't think so. He went and he came back and his money is bent. Yeah, his money is bent. Please tell your neighbor, men are unreliable. And you see, the thing is that because the man was lying there saying, I have no one to help me. He was looking for a man to help him. And nobody will help him. Men will not help you. This morning, lift your eyes to God. Amen. Amen. Lift your eyes to God. God will help you. God will help you. Hallelujah. And the last one, wait and see what God is doing. Then join yourself. You will see the power of God easily. Wait and see what God is doing. What is God doing? God is building his church. If you join God to build his church, you will see his power easily. Amen. That is his main, that is his job. Jesus said, I will build my church. As for you being established, it is secondary. It's not his prime aim to establish you. No. It is that his church will be built. No, that scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says, God will give you the power to get wealth. Aha, God will make me rich. No, that he will keep the promise. That's his aim. That the word I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will not be seen to be breaking it. It's not you. It's not. It is those guys who were very faithful to him up there, and he promised them. That is why he's trying to bless you for their sakes. God told Rehoboam, you know, Solomon, that I will not take the kingdom away entirely for David's sake. He said, you this Rehoboam, you should lose everything, but I will leave you a small portion of the kingdom for your father David's sake. So oftentimes God does things based on something else, not that he's trying to help you. Amen. So if you want to see God's power liberally, literally, firsthand, begin to do what he does. Or join him. What did Jesus say? I do what I see my father doing. Join him. One of the places where, maybe I'll just say clearly, one of the places where you see God's power most is in church. Don't somebody be serious in church. Be serious. Be serious. Don't just come and go. No, many people come and go, and they are comers and goers. No, be serious. Amen. Be serious in church. Be serious about church, about God. When you are, you will see the power of God working properly in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you will see that the Holy Spirit is not a distant person. He is real. Amen. This morning, I want to ask somebody, how many want to really walk close to the Holy Spirit? You see, when you ask this question, the whole church, they all raise their hands. So sometimes I don't want to ask that question. It becomes like a rhetoric question. Everybody says, if your hand is down, what does it mean? You must be a very bad person to keep your hand down. You know. So I don't like to ask the question, but it is more, are you serious about wanting the Holy Spirit to help you? Are you serious? I don't know your heart, but you know your heart. And you know whether you are not serious or not. And you know how serious you are. But I want us to pray a prayer this morning. Hallelujah. I want us to pray a prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. Help you in what? In my life. Once you dedicate your life to follow God seriously, he will help you. Let me show you a last scripture that I read this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And verse 12. Give me the easy to read version. Now, Israelites, what does, are you listening? Look at the Lord, read it yourself. What does the Lord our God really want from you? What does God really want from you? Look at what he wants from you. Number one, he wants you to respect him and do what he says. Number two, to love him. And number three, to serve him. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Are you listening? What does God want from us? Number one, to respect him. When I say respect, I mean, to regard him, to pay attention to him, that God matters. When you don't respect somebody, if the person comes to pass, you even notice him. You mind it. I mean, he means nothing to you. Let God mean something to you. Amen. Number two, to love him. To love him. When you love somebody, what does it mean? You're all quiet. You don't love anybody. Or he's not here. When you love somebody, what do? You go out of your way. That's the summary. You go out of your way to do things. Even things that you like, you give away. Your last money, your last things. Amen? And then to serve him. These are the three things God wants us to do. Listen, if you embark on these three things, you will see his power at work in our life. Let us, all of us, let us all decide that this scripture, let it be our key scripture. What does God want from us? Deuteronomy 10:12. Let me see the King James. What the King James says. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. Here, guys, four, they break into four. To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. May this be our testimony. May this be our desire. May this be our driving motivation in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand your feet this morning. I want somebody to say, that's my... Please leave it up there. Leave it up there. I want someone to say, this is my desire. This is what I want, to love God, to fear God, to walk in his ways, to serve him. I want somebody to say, this is what it is. What else you want for your life? I can give you testimonies that, look, you can want something. When you get it, there's nothing. People are trying to get married. In the same court, people are trying to get divorced. Yeah. People are crying for children. You go and find women, a baby, they've gone to America. Yeah. So some are looking and some have abandoned it. It's amazing. And that's why I want us to focus our hearts on God this morning. Amen. And the best message is that it is the Holy Spirit who will help us. Who will help us to walk this walk. He's a guide and the teacher to help us to be successful. This morning, just pray 1 minute, just 1 second. Just pray for yourself 1 second. Lord, let this be my portion. Makataya. Let this be my portion. This is my desire. This is my desire. This is what I want in my heart. This is what I really want. What God wants of me. What I also want to do. I want to serve him. I want to serve God all my days, all my life, all that I have. Many, many things don't matter. You will see for yourself very, very soon. Many things don't matter. They'll just fade right before your eyes. They'll just be destroyed by every circumstance. But Lord, me, I want to serve you. I want to fear you, walk in your ways, love you, and serve you this morning. I want you to pray. Listen, you are praying for yourself. You are praying for yourself.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.